Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 64 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Ellen Barnett.
It's really a matter of responding after it's over with and doing what we can.
First responders are gearing up as more rain sweeps across the Commonwealth tonight.
Two men wanted for allegedly shooting at a police officer in Ashland have been arrested.
The man indicted for killing a Pikeville police officer pled not guilty today.
Lawmakers are considering a bill aimed at improving outcomes for pregnant women in prison.
Preliminary enrollment at Moorhead State University is down for the spring semester.
In sports, MSU's baseball team heads to Kansas for the first game in a three-part series tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
More rain tonight with a low around 41. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
With more rain on the way and flood watches declared throughout the state, Kentuckians are preparing for high water as the weekend approaches. Rain has already caused a power outage in Carter County, where Roger Dunphy is the emergency management director. Dunphy says they try to prepare a plan ahead of the severe weather, but that storms aren't always predictable, as we might hope.
If we need to open a shelter, we have emergency plans in place if we need to evacuate. If necessary, we call the Red Cross. They can offer services. Salvation Army has services that they provide for us. So it's really a matter of responding after it's over with and doing what we can.
Dunphy warns not to become complacent when it comes to plans for severe weather, but reminds the public that a flood watch is not the same as a flood warning.
Two men accused in connection with an incident where shots were fired at an Ashland police officer are now in custody. Frank Joliffe Jr. of Catlettsburg and Danny Halley of Ashland were arrested yesterday by the APD and members of the U.S. Marshals Service. Police Chief Todd Kelly says city police want to know which one of them fired two shots at an officer during a foot pursuit following a traffic stop early Sunday morning in a residential area of Ashland.
We want to be able to know it down right at the beginning and say this is who is the one that actually fired the shot, and that's the one we want to bring criminal charges to. Or if both of them shot, you know, that's appropriate too. We just want to be able to present what we know as fact, and we can back up when we charge them.
For now, both Joliffe and Halley are charged with fleeing and evading, along with wanton endangerment. They could also be charged with the attempted murder of an Ashland police officer. Joliffe and Halley are being held in the Boyd County Detention Center.
The man indicted for killing Pikeville police officer Scotty Hamilton on March 13th pled not guilty today. John Hall appeared in court a little more than a week after a grand jury handed down the indictment. Police say Hall shot Officer Hamilton in Hurricane Creek community of Pike County. Hall spent about 36 hours on the run before police found him at a home on the Pike-Floyd County line. WYMT reports the judge told prosecutors during the hearing they must decide whether they will seek the death penalty before a pretrial conference set for May 24th. Meanwhile, four people indicted for helping Hall also pled not guilty today. A judge set a bond for each of them at $10,000. 39-year-old Michael Sloan, 53-year-old Gregory Sloan, 37-year-old Amanda Dotson, and Jeanne Blackburn all allegedly helped Hall get transportation and hide from police. All four will appear at a pretrial conference set for April 12th.
A Bourbon County deputy jailer has been arrested for allegedly having sexual contact with an inmate. WKYT reports 38-year-old Tiffany Tully was arrested Friday on charges of sexual abuse and official misconduct. Kentucky State Police accuse her of having inappropriate contact with a prisoner while she was on duty. She is lodged in the Bourbon County Detention Center.
A Pike County resident is behind bars following a string of thefts. According to WYMT, 30-year-old Brandon Hatfield was arrested on an indictment Tuesday after Elkhorn City Police Chief Bobby Sexton discovered an incriminating trail of evidence.
Entered from the back, a broken window. Several items were took, a lawnmower from outside. Inside the residence was a TV.
Sexton had to abandon some items on train tracks as he attempted to flee the scene. A second robbery 2 miles from the first scene, there were residents who confronted and identified him. Hatfield is being charged with burglary, theft by unlawful taking, and evading police.
A man is dead following a car crash in Powell County last night. WYMT reports 40-year-old Casey Short was driving on Kentucky 11 when he crossed the center line and hit a commercial vehicle head-on. The road was closed for several hours as emergency crews responded to the crash. Short was pronounced dead at the scene. The cause of the crash is still under investigation.
A murder suspect was shot dead by police in John Hardin High School's parking lot yesterday. 51-year-old Jesse Kilgus shot and killed his wife, 46-year-old Ruth Margie Kilgus, before going to pick up his son. He was denied entry to the school due to the lockdown. According to WKYT, police arrived at the scene shortly after and opened fire after Kilgus raised his gun in a threatening manner. Hardin County School spokesman John Wright assures that no danger made its way into the building.
We like to just enforce or reassure parents that never any time during any of this were ever students ever in any danger.
Several schools were put on lockdown and parents were allowed to pick their kids up while the investigation was underway. John Hardin High School was in normal operation today.
Kentucky officials have removed a plaque from the statue of Jefferson Davis that resides in the state capitol. The plaque declared the only president of the Confederacy to be a patriot, hero, statesman. State officials decided in 2015 not to remove the statue from the Capitol. The Historic Properties and Advisory Commission voted last October to remove the plaque in response to multiple incidents of racially motivated violence associated with Confederate monuments. The plaque was removed on March 15th after a lawyer with Governor Matt Bevin's administration made sure the commission had the authority to do so.
The Kentucky House is considering legislation aimed at improving outcomes for pregnant women in prison and their babies. KNC's Mary Sherman reports.
Senator Julie Rocky Adams co-sponsored Senate Bill 133, which she says would address unfavorable conditions for women in prison, including access to basic health and hygiene services. She explains the state's correctional facilities were originally built for men and are ill-equipped to handle the recent rise in the female population.
Our female prison population is struggling to get the personal items they need, feminine hygiene products, and there's even a lot of problems with them having undergarments that are appropriate. And in Kentucky, we still shackle women while they're giving birth.
Adams adds 1 in 4 women entering the prison population either has an infant or is pregnant, and some are struggling with drug addiction. SB 133, which she calls the Dignity Bill, would also allow pregnant women in prison to enter drug treatment to help them deliver a healthy baby and end the practice of shackling pregnant women during labor. Mary Sherman reporting.
State House and Senate members of the conference committee met on Wednesday afternoon to discuss a budget agreement, but failed to reach one. Republican Senator Chris McDaniel of Taylor Mill chairs the group. He said there was a lot of issues addressed and progress was made. Speaking to Spectrum News Pure Politics, that work continues on revenue measures that need to be established to fund a spending plan.
Everything's taken a slow step towards fruition, and I think that our chambers take our constitutional duties very seriously. I think you'll continue to see us advance the work products. When we reach a resolution, it will all come together.
The House will convene at 10 a.m. and the Senate at 2. McDaniel says the conference committee will meet as a whole sometime this afternoon.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Preliminary enrollment numbers indicate Moorhead State University is missing more than 1,200 students compared to the fall semester. Those numbers were reported to the Board of Regents during the quarterly meeting this morning. While the decrease between the fall and spring semesters is common, Dr. Shannon Haar says housing and enrollment numbers for the fall semester already look promising.
For spring, we billed 2,431 students. And I would tell you for the fall, knock on wood, we are up 199 applications compared to this time last year for the residence halls. And as Tim said, our SOAR numbers, we still got to close the deal, but we're really up on orientation numbers registered compared to last year.
Students who enrolled in the Eagle Scholars Program are only counted during the fall semester, which makes up about half of those lost students. Final enrollment numbers will be reported during the next Board of Regents meeting on June 7th.
Some potential candidates for Boyd County School Superintendent have surfaced. WMKY's Peyton Stewart has the story.
The screening committee for the post has recommended 5 candidates to the Boyd County School Board. 12 individuals had applied for the position. According to the Ashland Daily Independent, the Board of Education's chairman, Bob Green, calls the candidates exceptional educational administrators, but at this point he is not willing to release their names. However, he did tell the paper that 4 of the 5 candidates are from Northeast Kentucky. The board will begin conducting interviews in 2 weeks. The Boyd District has been without a superintendent since last September when Brock Walter retired. Reporting for WMKY, I'm Peyton Stewart.
Moorhead's mayor says the move by his city and Rowan County to make part of downtown a tax increment financing district is already showing signs that it will pay major dividends. Jim Tom Trent says since the two governmental bodies took that action last year, hotel builders and other developers have taken a keen interest in Moorhead's central business district.
We think we're on the cusp of a very large potential era of development downtown, and not just with the TIF folks, but also folks who may want to come and be on the outside that can either benefit the TIF district and also can be benefited themselves by the TIF district.
Tax incremental financing districts are employed by municipalities as a method for attracting developers to build in a designated area by offering them both local and state tax breaks.
Rowan's jailer and his staff are gearing up for their move into the county's new $18 million detention center. According to Wes Coldiron, the transition should fully begin by the end of May. Right now, among other things, he's making sure the building's computers, phones, radios, and cable systems are in place. Coldiron admits there are several small things that have to be done before the new jail is ready to begin holding prisoners, which should happen in June.
Yeah, they are. And I try to keep in contact. I got a buddy that works at Oldham County, and they just opened their new facility, so I contact them, and he's really good at helping me out on the small things that you don't even think about that we need to get done. So I really called upon him, and it's really helped me a lot.
Coldiron also plans to grow his staff from 24 to 40 members. Rowan's current 78-bed jail generally holds 100 or more prisoners a day. The new lockup will have the capability of housing over 300 inmates.
The Olive Hill Council motioned to approve its amended budget Tuesday afternoon. WMKY's Brian Courtney has the story.
An executive session was called at the behest of Alan Stapleton, who took issue with the budget. After discussing with council outside of the public eye, the council motioned to approve the budget. The council also set a date for an upcoming 5K run, approved ordinance to improve gas lines, discussed lowering children at play signs around the community, as well as individuals burning dumpster waste, and possible funding for sidewalk repairs, playgrounds, and the splash pad. For WMKY, I'm Brian Courtney.
Kentucky lawmakers are continuing budget negotiations in Frankfort today. House and Senate leaders met privately yesterday as they sought to reach a compromise on how to spend more than $70 billion of state and federal tax dollars over the next 2 years. Senate Budget Chairman Chris McDaniel and House Budget Chairman Stephen Rudy said lawmakers will not formally meet again until today. That's why they're on the floor. You can currently see that happening live on KET.org. But they said private discussions were ongoing throughout the morning and yesterday evening. Dozens of teachers are lining the hallways outside of the meeting rooms in the Kentucky Capitol, holding signs asking lawmakers to support public education.
Kentucky's auditor is investigating the state's troubled broadband project, but the report won't be finished before lawmakers must decide whether to keep funding a venture that is years behind schedule and costing taxpayers millions of dollars in delays. Auditor Mike Harmon's office has been examining Kentucky Wired since January, according to documents obtained by the Associated Press through an open records request. Auditors are looking at contracts, billing, procurement, expenditures, planning, and other areas of concern. Kentucky is attempting to install 3,000 miles of fiber optic cable to bring high-speed internet to all 120 counties in one of the nation's poorest states. The project was announced in 2014 and was supposed to be finished by now. Instead, $230 million has been spent mostly for design and engineering work, with only 708 miles installed. It's unclear when the report will be finished, but spokesman Mike Goins said it won't be ready before lawmakers must approve a two-year operating budget. The report should not cost more than $125,000, which must be paid by the authority.
A Kentucky bourbon maker is issuing a new commemorative bottle honoring the 1997-98 Kentucky Men's Basketball National Championship team, known as the Comeback Cats. UK Athletics said in a news release it has joined with Maker's Mark in Keeneland with a goal of raising $2 million for the Center for Academic and Tutorial Services for Kentucky student athletes. More than $1.5 million have been raised already. The bottle that goes on sale April 6th is the fourth in the series. The bottle signing will be held at Keeneland on April 13th. Tickets are required and available online. The first three bottles honored Kentucky's first six national championships. Next year's bottle will complete the series to benefit the program, which serves students from all of the school's 22 varsity sports teams.
And taking a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening area. Tonight there's a 90% chance of showers and possibly a thunderstorm, low around 42 degrees. On Friday, there's a 40% chance of showers, mainly before noon, cloudy with a high near 49. On Friday night, partly cloudy skies with a low around 35. On Saturday, increasing clouds, high near 62, some wind gusts as high as 21 miles per hour. On Saturday night, there's an 80% chance of showers, lows around 39. And on Sunday, there's a 40% chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 51 degrees. Looking at temperatures around the region, it's currently sitting at 62 degrees in Winchester, Lexington, and Flemingsburg. It's 70 degrees in Ashland, 75 in Inez, and it's 65 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
On our feature segment today, the Morehead State University Commercial Music Ensemble's British Invasion Show is sure to grab the attention of fans of rock music. WMKY's Peyton Stewart has the story.
Morehead State's only rock band will be taking the stage at the Morehead Conference Center. Each year, the Commercial Music Ensemble does a show of a different theme. This year's show includes songs by bands from the British Invasion era. Glenn Ginn is the director of the Commercial Rock Ensemble. He says the show will give the audience the authentic rock and roll experience.
It's a nice thing for the audience because they can come and get a real sort of rock concert experience, which I think is something that's, at least in my 13 years here in Morehead, is something that's been sorely missing.
Ginn says attendees can expect to hear songs from the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, Cream, Led Zeppelin, and more at the British Invasion concert.
That's the way the show will go. We'll start with the Beatles. We play songs by a lot of the other British groups. The finale of the show will be Led Zeppelin.
The group consists of 24 MSU students.
And they're not all playing at the same time. I essentially take that large group, divide them up into smaller groups. And so each student ends up playing on four or five different songs.
The concert is on April 3rd at the Morehead Conference Center. Entry is $5 or free for MSU students. Reporting for WMKY,
I'm Peyton Stewart.
It's 449 and 64 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Ellen Barnett, and we're so glad to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from Bypass Pawn, 897 Flemingsburg Road in Morehead. Bypass Pawn buys, sells, trades, and loans on just about anything of value. Cash for gold, silver, jewelry, and diamonds. Tools, video games, televisions, computers, hunting supplies, music gear, and guitars. Open 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Mondays through Saturdays, noon to 5 on Sundays. Bypass Pawn on Flemingsburg Road in Morehead can be reached at 606-780-7296. Facebook and online at bypasspawn.com.
The Eagles visit Kansas. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Morehead State baseball team starts a three-game series tonight at 7 at Big 12 member Kansas. Coach Mike McGuire says the Jayhawks pitchers will pose a real challenge for MSU's hitters.
We're going to see some premier power arms. I know that. Several guys that, 94, 96, 97, mile-an-hour velocity that you don't see every day.
While MSU is 15-11 this season, Kansas is 15-10. The two teams will also meet in single games tomorrow and Saturday. Today is opening day in Major League Baseball for most teams, with 13 games scheduled for today. However, the Cincinnati Reds postponed their opening game with the Nationals until tomorrow due to incoming weather. Reds president Phil Castellini says it was a decision the club didn't want to make, but calls it the right choice.
It is not something that we take lightly, to move something like opening day. And so we've looked at this weather now for a week and a half, but certainly in the last couple of days, to have determined that all of the activities were going to be extraordinarily difficult to achieve, if being able to do at all. So again, we don't take this lightly. We have checked all the appropriate boxes with the league and our partners and sponsors, and have made this decision to move the game, we think, for the benefit of the fans and players alike.
The Reds will get the season started tomorrow at 4:10. Some scores from baseball's opening day: the Cubs beat the Marlins 8-4. The Mets topped the Cardinals 9-4. Elsewhere, Baltimore and Minnesota are scoreless in the fifth inning. The Astros lead the Rangers 1-0 in the third. Boston is up on Tampa Bay 3-0 in the second. The Yankees lead Toronto 2-0, and the White Sox, Royals, Milwaukee, San Diego, and LA and Oakland are all still scoreless in their games. After not having played for a week, the Morehead State softball team returns to action on Friday with a 1 p.m. OVC doubleheader at home against Tennessee State. Despite the weather-imposed layoff, Coach David Williams believes his Eagles will still be in good shape against TSU.
Been doing pretty well pitching and defensively. Offense, we haven't gotten rolling as much in the past couple weeks as we were early on in the season, but we're working on some of those things in practice right now, so hopefully we can get our offensive efficiency back up and try to throw up some runs and do everything we can, but I feel like we've got a good chance to win both of those games.
Tennessee State is just 3-29 this season, including an 0-4 conference mark. The Ashland basketball program is looking for a new head coach. The Tomcats have parted ways with Jeremy Howell after three seasons. Howell went 53-35 as the Tomcats' head man, which included a trip to the regional championship game earlier this month. Louisville's new basketball coach says he has some big shoes to fill in taking over the storied Cardinals program. Former Xavier bench boss Chris Mack was introduced Wednesday as just the third permanent head coach in the program since 1971. And following in the footsteps of Denny Crum and Rick Pitino, Mack promises to give it his best. Part of that, he says, is to make sure the Louisville players live up to the strict set of expectations, both on and off the floor.
I talk to him about meeting a high standard, and I see my job as the head coach of keeping that standard high and not lowering the standard when it's not met. It's not going to be easy. I want our team and our players to be tough, together, and unbreakable.
Matt gets a 7-year, $28 million contract to take over at Louisville. The deal includes a $6 million buyout. One other note from college basketball: Virginia head coach Tony Bennett has won the AP Coach of the Year award. Bennett won the award after leading the Cavaliers to a 31-3 record. It's the second time Bennett has won the award, with the first being back in 2007 when he was the coach at Washington State. He received 50 of the 65 first-place votes, with Tennessee's Rick Barnes coming in second with 5 votes. Ohio State first-year head man Chris Holtman finished third with 4 votes. Duke All-American freshman Marvin Bagley III and Michigan State sophomore Miles Bridges says they're leaving school early to enter this year's NBA draft. And two junior guards, Eric Davis Jr. of Texas and DePaul's Max Struss, are also turning pro. A few members of the 2018 Basketball Hall of Fame class have been reported. According to ESPN, Grant Hill, Jason Kidd, and Steve Nash have all been notified of their inductions into the Hall. Other finalists for the 2018 class include Ray Allen, Mo Cheeks, and Chris Webber. A formal announcement of the full 2018 Hall of Fame class will come at the Final Four News Conference in San Antonio this weekend. Morehead State football coach Rob Tenier is focused on making his team's offense more productive and more explosive during spring drills. Tenier says that process starts with making it more consistent.
Big thing for us last year was turnovers. We turned the ball over way too much, and everyone took part in that. It wasn't just, you know, a quarterback throwing interceptions or fumbling the football. You know, that comes back to just the basics, fundamentals of pass protection, going through the progression of your reads, getting the ball out on time, making plays when the ball is in your hands. And so those are some things we're going to focus on offensively.
Tenier says having returning playmakers and quarterback Lawson Page and wide receiver Jaron Higginbotham, along with a veteran offensive line, should help MSU next fall. Finally, in sports, Kentucky's young quarterbacks are being helped by having some key veterans around them. That word comes from the Cats quarterbacks coach Darren Henshaw. Henshaw says the experience of those guys is paying off for sophomore Gunnar Hoke, JUCO transfer Terry Wilson, and redshirt freshman Danny Clark and Walker Wood.
It's great. Our offensive line is just helping the quarterbacks tremendously. They help with calls. They help with all. You can see that those guys are leaders up front. They've been through wars. And there's no doubt that that helps us. We're going to be experienced at running back. You know, the wide receiver position's a little young, and they're learning some different things. So, again, there's a learning curve there and getting on the same page, but that's what spring ball's for.
Hoke and Clark are the top contenders to replace two-year UK starter Stephen Johnson, who graduates. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Beach volleyball welcomes Austin Peay for two matches on Monday, and baseball hosts Marshall at 5 p.m. next Tuesday. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. stocks rallied today, being the last trading day of the month and the quarter, as the technology sector curbed steep declines that had been seen in recent sessions. The Dow Industrials finished with a gain of 254.69 at 24,103.11. The S&P 500 gained 1.4% to finish at 2640.87, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 1.6%, finishing at 7063.44. In tech, shares of Facebook rose 4.5%, while Apple, Netflix, and Alphabet, which is the parent for Google, also all closed higher, and Microsoft was up 2.1% after the company announced a major reorganization. Amazon started out weak today, getting below $1,400 a share, but finished with a gain, as the White House again reiterated that there were no specific plans regarding White House action toward Amazon. Amazon was hit hard yesterday when the news of this first came out regarding the president wanting to take potential action against Amazon. Equities have had a volatile quarter to start out off 2018. The major averages, of course, reached record highs in January before falling into correction territory. And in March, worries that the U.S. could spark a trade war with China, along with downside pressure in tech, kept Wall Street on its toes. And for the quarter, the Dow finished with a loss of 2.3%, while the S&P 500 was down 1.2% for the quarter. The NASDAQ Composite bucked that trend as the NASDAQ finished with a gain of 2.3% for the first quarter. Overseas in Europe, stocks were strong, with the Stock 600 index up 0.4%. In Asia, stocks did well. The Nikkei was up 0.6%, while the Shanghai Composite was up 1.25%. Among Dow Industrial stocks, the best performers were Intel and Cisco, while the worst performers were United Health Group and GE. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Centene and Marathon Oil, while the worst performers were Alliance Data Systems and Walgreens. Turning now to stocks of local interest, Fashion Global up 70 cents at $69.77, AEP down 6 cents at $68.60, CSX up $1.40 at $55.71, AK Steel up a quarter at $4.53, Marathon Petroleum up $1.32 at $73.14, and Community Trust Bank was down 45 cents to finish at $45.20. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead and translator W202BHI Nez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ellen Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News.